Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and I'm joined with my phenomenal co-host and my bride and my everything in my life, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hey, Mary, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yep, and we get to welcome you to another edition of our Life by Life West, and we've got two incredible people, incredible doctors, incredible educators that are going to be on the show today. And I'm going to introduce them to you right now. And it's Dr. Clay and Dr. Petra Sowell. So guys, welcome. I got that out, right?
Yeah, you did a good job.
My German is getting better as of today. Well, welcome Dr. Clay and Dr. Petra. Great to see you.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, they're coming at us from Colorado. So I'll give you a little bit of history that I about both of them. They both graduated from Life West in 2007. Clay graduated in June and Petra in December. And right away, while they were at college, they were really interested in animals and different things. And they became close with another one of our guests that we've had on the show before, at least on our Life Leadership Line, Dr. Jay Komarek. Jay offered them to come out whenever they graduated, spend a week, you know, get their hands dirty, right? You know, and with all the animals and everything else. And so Dr. Clay goes out and spends a week. And then next thing you know, he ends up becoming part of the practice and kind of speaks to who he is. And you know, for Dr. Jay to want someone to come in, that means a lot, right? And,
yeah. You know,
and and then I think at that time, Dr. Clay's wife was kind of going to be Dr. Jay's wife at the time was going to be moving out. So he calls up one of his classmates, Dr. Petra, and said, I'd love to have you come out to spend, you know, whatever. I don't know if you went out for a week or not, but she ended up staying there and bought into the practice. And here they are. And then 8 months later, they decided, hey, we're hanging out together a lot. And, you know, they're in Mancos. If that's correct. Did I say it right?
Mancos.
Mancos, Colorado, just outside Durango. And they said, listen, you know, they just started hanging out. They got together. Next thing you know, they got married 15 years later. They got a phenomenal life. They take care of humans. They take care of animals. They live on an 80-acre farm. And they're also just started a school, animal adjusting. It's called Animal Chiropractic CE, where they're teaching chiropractors about animal adjusting and just doing amazing things. They have Dr. Jay Komarek teaching for them along with, you know, the work they're doing, doing very, very cool things. So we are thrilled to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I love it.
So before we kind of jump in, we'd like to ask chiropractors, because most of us feel like we didn't just choose chiropractic. We feel like it was a calling and chiropractic chose us. So if you guys could each just tell your story of just how chiropractic found you, because I'm interested in that.
Yeah, my journey was kind of I was kind of in a place in my life. I was out of college. I'd been doing like just odd jobs, studying martial arts for about 3 years. And I really started to get into the mind body connection. And it was kind of, like you said, chiropractic chose me. It was kind of my next step on my spiritual journey in a way. No idea what chiropractic was really. I mean, I'd been adjusted. It helped me with a lot of different conditions in my body and things I was experiencing. But I went to school. When I got to school, I went to that Friday seminar where the whole, school is watching, and back then it was on TV screens, but I was just blown away. Like there's a guy up there and he was just talking about the principles of chiropractic and chiropractic philosophy. I thought, this is exactly what I believe. This is exactly what I believe. I had no idea that that's what chiropractic entailed.
Wow.
So that was kind of my first journey. And
where were you? Where were you living?
At the time I was in Nebraska. Yeah. I was in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah. Dr. Petra? It was a horse, and I had gotten my bachelor's in business, and I was super unhappy. I was trying to find something where I could work with animals, and it just so happened I had a horse and an animal chiropractor, Dr. John Red Eagle Valenzuela, who's also a LifeWest graduate, came to our barn, and I had a nasty horse that was just, an old race horse, and he would kick and bite when you would saddle him, and he was not really that much fun to ride. And the chiropractor came out, and he didn't have to say a word when I saw that horse that was so nasty just melt in his hands and suddenly show up as a partner that wanted to work together. I think I was signed up in school probably a month later. It blew my mind.
Wow.
No words necessary. And I went to LifeWest and I said, I'm only going to do animals. I'm never going to touch humans, which changed.
Where
I'm
were you?
guessing.
Where was this horse? Where were you?
Half Moon Bay.
Huh?
Half Moon Bay.
Half
Half Moon Bay.
Moon
I
Bay.
lived in Half Moon Bay at the time.
Wow.
I'm
Wow.
guessing you like adjusting animals more than you like adjusting humans. Is that true?
I go back and forth. I have many times to say no more humans and I'll just go to animals, but then I miss it.
Yeah.
And so I'm back and forward. I have come to a point in my life now where I'm just balancing all of them instead of like trying to get, do high volume with all of it. So
Right.
balance. Yes, I love all of it.
That's great.
I love it. And I got to tell you,
Okay.
Dr. Clay, if this would have been last year, and you were sitting in Lincoln, Nebraska, you'd be at our college in Bellevue, Nebraska.
I might have been. I might have been. I was looking to escape Nebraska, though. I was looking to, like, I wanted to see California.
I hear you. Anyone from California now wants to go to Nebraska, you know that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, funny
Something
how
new,
the
something
world
new.
changes.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you guys because, I mean, obviously, look at you. You went out to Colorado. I mean, both of you didn't know a soul out there except for Dr. Jay Komarek, right? That really was it. And, you're in an area where it's just mostly farms and that kind of thing. And I'm sure it's part of your lifestyle. It's all part of who you are right now. But, you went into adjusting, and then next thing then you're starting to teach, and you're teaching animal things, and now you started your CE school, and all these different things that are happening, and it just, it takes a vision. I mean, it really does, and I didn't even mention the amount of animals that you have on your farm, right? The pigs and the chickens and the horses and the dogs and the cats and the, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, I bought a farm kind of deal, and I just, it's like, talk to us about that. Like, where'd the vision come from, or what do you, and maybe we'll talk about what's in the future.
I think it just kind of happened organically. We both, or I came out to Durango to learn how to do kind of the practicing of horses and people, and I wanted to mentor under somebody. And then when Petra came out, we eventually bought our first house together, and we had a cat, and then we had her horse. So we kind of combined two rents and a boarding fee into a mortgage. And that was kind of it. From there, you just, oh, let's get a dog. Let's get two dogs. That dog needs a companion. Now we all need, let's get two wild Mustangs. So we adopted two wild Mustangs, and it just kind of naturally evolves, I guess you could say. Just like life, there's always a not necessarily that you're choosing those steps, but sometimes they just show up, and it's just like, oh, yeah, let's just do that.
And we did have vision boards. We always have like we had we always were good about like having visions and writing them down. Like if we wouldn't have any limitation of money or dreams or anything we wanted, like we would write down we wanted a ranch with trees and animals
And irrigation.
and irrigation and water, and just the list was endless. And I think that that's definitely a big part of our practice. It always has been.
The power of visualization is huge, isn't it? I mean, and it's so difficult to explain to people until they experience it, right? To visualize, write down, just have it somewhere visible to be able to see, but then you got into the teaching, I mean, where did that branch from?
That was actually, we had interns come to us, and they would, they were mostly because they knew that we were doing animals and then wanted to learn. And it was mortifying how little they knew, how terrible they were at adjusting. And I'm sorry, like, I don't mean to rag on them, it wasn't their fault. But the reality is, like, Clay and I, we graduated, we were ready to, like, take on a horse, anything, with a spine, basically. But we had to go through the certification, which we did. And the certifications are good,
but a lot of times it's posology. And we realized that there needed to be an advanced program that, like, we had such an so many great mentors where we can just where we could take everyone to the next level. And so we just started with one or two classes, and you know, not an intro class, but it was the next level. Those old people that did the 220 hours plus. And yeah, and we just elaborated and we saw what need there was and we kept on adding to it. And it's been incredible. Everybody that kind of comes gets inspired, gets nurtured, and they take their animal practice to the next level. It's incredible to see. And it's simple. It's just a little inspiration, a little technique, a little, you know, posture. And that's how it started.
Wow. And it seems like it's really, I just being at the school, at the college, it seems like animal chiropractic is really gaining traction now.
Yeah, it's I think there's 7 states now that you can
Yes.
have direct access to animals, and that's just changing. I know California's in the process of changing its law here hopefully next year or so. So you have direct access to the animal. And in Colorado, we went from 50 animal chiropractors 5 years ago when we changed the law, or it's been longer than that, 7 years ago, to now it's like doubled and
It
tripled.
tripled now,
Yeah, so we
yeah.
now have
Wow.
150 chiropractors in our state. So it's definitely a growing profession. We see that in our school. We have more and more students every year, more and more people that we attract the people that want to learn. They really want to
Yeah.
like understand something. They're not there just to take the credit.
Yeah. And I think the beautiful thing too is that, it's always true with animals, right? They really listen to their innate, right? I mean, animals, if a dog isn't feeling well, they're going to go lay down in the corner and just sleep throughout the day, maybe not eat, whatever, right? And no one ever questions that. They just say, oh, I guess Fido's not doing well, And then the next day, Fido's up and running around. I mean, we trust that they trust their bodies, right? Different than humans. How many people do you have come into you bringing their animals and then getting under care themselves?
Oh yeah, all the time. Happens all the time. With dogs, especially with horses, the owner's like, "What?" And then they start to realize that, "Oh, maybe I'm the reason my horse needs to be adjusted because I'm not being adjusted." So then they start getting adjusted, and so then they really start to feel a major difference between the connection between them and their animal even more. So, and some of these people are really experienced riders, so it's pretty powerful. It's pretty cool to build your practice that way. It just happens organically.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool because I always picture, I don't know a lot about horses, but I picture if you own a horse, you have to be pretty intuitive, don't you? Or does it just help if you're intuitive?
It's a loaded question.
Yes. I mean, you have to have some kind of connection with the animal, but it's Right.
pretty incredible how I think it's just lack of knowledge. It's not ill will. I think that horse owners, like, we have two parts, right? We have horse owners that just want to do dressage. We have real ranch horses. The ranch horses, it's all about, like, they've got to be well enough to perform to do their work. And if they break down, then they need to be fixed. With, you know, performance horses, if you can't pick up the right lead canter or something, then people are like, they don't necessarily think of that, you know, of chiropractic immediately, but it's starting to happen. So yes, it's getting better and better. People are getting more aware.
And once one person knows about it, they're telling their other friends about it, right? Just like anything else. Do people bring their animals? This is a curious question for me. Do they bring their animals, their horses, for maintenance?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so they're not waiting till they're breaking down, whatever. Like they bring them in, whatever it is, once a month or once, whatever it might be.
You watch. I always tell people, like the people that are skeptic of chiropractic, I'm like, you watch a little baby get adjusted, or you watch a horse, because the change oftentimes is dramatic, and that horse will be in a whole different state. It'll be in a total parasympathetic, blissed out state. It's dropping its head, its eyes are closing, it's licking and chewing. It's just when you're finished adjusting, and that doesn't take any words. People just watch that happen to their animal, and they get it. They want more of that. That's what the world needs. People want more of that kind of experience.
I
I was going to say they
saw
can't
it,
wait.
Mary. We were just, when we just saw JJ was just at the school, right? We walked outside for about a half hour, and he was teaching students, and it was incredible. He had a horse in his hands. This horse was real frisky, and the next, just like you said, the horse's head went
Head
down,
went
eyes
down.
started to close, started licking. You just start seeing it just go into this parasympathetic state, and I'm like thinking to myself, do that to me, do that to me. I mean, it was so beautiful to see. I mean, it melted, just literally melted right there.
They don't have the mental block, and that's the beauty about it. And I think that, you know, whether it is a performance horse or just a backyard horse, people see that and they care for their horse, they're like, oh, I want to give that or gift that to my animal. So I think maintenance has become more and more common now, which is great.
I love it.
So of the chiropractors that you're teaching, are they mostly newer chiropractors or are they seasoned chiropractors or a mix of both?
Yeah, a mix of both. A lot
Everything.
of them are have just graduated from the initial basic certification program, the 220-hour course, and then some of them have been in practice longer than us, 30 years. So they're just looking to refine their techniques, or they're looking for a flow with the animal. They don't feel like they're totally connecting with the animal and what they're doing. They're not sure if they're getting which result where. So we really kind of dial that down and break it down for them in a way that's nothing gets missed, everything's safe, and you do a great job, and you know when you're done, you know when you've done a good job, and you know when you're done with the adjustment. Because especially with a horse, that's a lot of animal to manage. So, it's a lot to kind of go through and remember what you did if you don't have a sequence and a flow to it.
And what I love is this, is that it just seems like, and you had said it before, that you got the best of the best. So you kind of pulled an all-star team together, right? To be able to, like you said, take it to the next level. And yeah, I believe that there's, everybody needs to know the classical, right? Look for this, look for the hip, do whatever it might be, right? These are all the classical things that we all have to learn how to do, right? But the quantum stuff is what I'm hearing, Clay, that you just talked about, like that, just getting in the flow and being able to understand. And Petra, you grew up with horses, so you sounds like it. So you're kind of in that quantum already. But can you talk about that at all? How does that transmit to the people in your in at the school?
So, and I think this is actually just you must have read my mind. I was just going to talk about it because we are a place where the people that come, they're going to get their soul nurtured. And they literally, some of them, they have been in practice forever. We have one guy that has taken our class 8 times. And we have two different levels, but a lot of it is similar. And it's just because they want to come, they want to be in the field of just being totally loved, of being heard, of like really like working on to like whether it's technique, of course we do that too, but it's that like digging deep into connecting, you're not just adjusting, you're connecting on such a deep level that you're going to take your adjustment to a whole new level. You like learned up being grounded, being present, being with people that are like-minded. And like during COVID, we were like a safe haven. It was incredible. That was our biggest classes. I don't tell anybody, but just kidding. So we realized we're like, oh my gosh, we totally, this is it, and it nurtures us. Like all the instructors needed the exact same nurturing. People need to cry. They need to like, say their visions, whatever it is. We want to provide all of it and have an incredible week and have lots of fun. And we're such good friends with all of the people that end up coming. So I hope I guessed what you were asking me, but that's.
No, that's exactly it. Because, it's like I said, it's more than just the classical, right? And the classical is important, right? A plus B equals C kind of thing. It's super important that we do that. But it's that other stuff, the connection, and then that connection, the deeper they are with themselves, they get that connection with the animals that they start seeing. And now they're different in front of the animals, right? The two of you can probably just walk up to a horse and you can probably tell exactly where the horse is before you even, touch that horse, right? And then once you hold that horse, you can kind of its head or wherever, you can kind of just you get you just feel it, right? It's just that, and that's the beauty about not being able to talk to your patient.
It's amazing.
You said the subjective. There's no subjective mind there, right?
No.
They're not blah 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 blah. It's just like let's feel what's going on here, right? And you become one. It's just it's I think that's the greatest gift.
It's a good practice for us too, because we have to check ourselves. You have to, am I in a good space? Because I'm gonna approach this giant animal and they know they can pick up on your energy from 50 feet away. So what am I clear? Am I present? Am I thinking about 1,000 things? Or I better get centered, I better get present, and I better connect with this animal before I put my hands on them, because they know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's huge.
So I want to pivot a little bit. When I speak to the students at the college, they always say like, it's great. We love hearing from other chiropractors, but we don't want to just hear from these like rock star successful chiropractors. We want to hear about the struggles, the challenges, and how they overcame them. So, right? Because, they can't relate to someone who's on a stage or on a podcast just saying like, we have tons of animals. We started a school, right? They're like, oh, great. Of course you did. What have been some of the challenges that you guys have overcome? Like, and yeah, I just kind of want to hear if you can think back in the last many years.
I'm going to actually start with the last 7 months for me. This is really interesting. This is probably a chiropractor's nightmare. I fell off my horse adjusting bale and I broke both of my hands. Like, not just a little break. It was just total, like, compression to the point and dislocated. And it was not because the horse was, it was a total fluke. I just fell backward. I landed like this. And my world crumbled. And looking back, I was really tired that day. We have a great practice, and we were pushing ourselves. And it was a 25 horse day, and I was in the mindset, okay, let's get them down. We got to just go boom, 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 And it was that is not a place you want to be at. And I've done that many times, and we've both done it. And that's when, like, you blow out your back or you break your hands. And like, sometimes your back can be because you're financially stressed, because you are gonna graduate with student loans. And I feel like all through this, the key thing is, and it was interesting because people kept on asking me, "You seem so calm," and I was like, "Yes, I feel like I went through it with grace, but it's also because I read all the books that I needed to read to keep my mind good, because there was a lot of nights where I was in so much pain, I just cried. And I had to just, find, like, my faith and whatever that is for you. I was praying my rosary, and I was just having so many wonderful, inspirational books and so much love and caring. And our whole community showed up. It was unbelievable, which made me realize, like, sometimes you don't realize the impact you have on your community. You might just be there, the little chiropractor adjusting, and then suddenly this whole town shows up for you, giving you money and food and love.
Wow.
And yeah, so we've definitely had our fair share of struggles. Any other ones that you can think of? I mean, I can think of many.
No, I think all of my struggles for me personally were just in my I was in my own way. Starting off, especially, you're nervous. You're like, that person like me? Does that why didn't they come back? I think those are questions that everybody, when they first get into practice, have. And you always I feel like the first 2 years of practice go by so slow compared to the next
Next
decade, right?
15, right?
Yeah, the next 15. It's like, wow, like, you don't even think about those things anymore that you initially struggled with in practice. And just I feel like there's a lot of pressure sometimes for people coming out of school. It's like, oh, I got to see the numbers, or I got to make this much money, or I got to have this kind of practice. And for somewhere along the lines, that gets ingrained into maybe from listening to so many successful speakers. I know LifeWest just has so many great people come through there. They did. When I was a student, you kind of want to emulate those people. And so really, and when you don't hit those places in your life, you don't feel like you're there, then you start to get down on yourself. You start to beat yourself up, and you just feel like, man, I failed in some way. And I feel and really, I think you have to stop sprinting and just look at your practice and your life as a more of a marathon. And how am I going to pace this, because it all changes, everything from traumatic changes to just this opportunity opens up for you, and I'm going to just take it, and all of a sudden your life takes you in a whole different direction. So we've had that multiple areas, and I think we talked about it earlier, but just allowing that to evolve instead of pushing, allowing it to just
And I think it's
naturally
an art,
unfold.
by what you're saying, it's an art to be inner directed because the outside is so strong. I mean, and rightfully so, right? We hear people, we want to emulate that, or we hear their, we see their vision and we attach on to certain aspects, that kind of thing. And it's not that it's not right for us, but at that moment, it might not be like, I want to be in the 12th grade, but I'm still in the seventh grade, right? And you've
And
got to.
being able to admit that to yourself, and not have, like, the ego being like, no, I am in the 12th grade. I'm going to pretend I'm there till I make it. Sometimes you crash and burn before you get to that point.
Absolutely. Petra, I've got a question for you. With 7 months ago, when you fell, looking back, because we all have, everyone's blind looking forward, right? But we have 20/20 hindsight. What were some of the lessons for you? Just or one lesson, like what do you think in your gut, like what do you feel was, you know, one of the big lessons that why this happened, because everything happens, you know, it
Oh,
happens
yeah.
through us, not to us, right?
Yeah. For me, it was I needed a deeper connection with God. You can call it universal intelligence, you know, whatever it is for you. But I was practicing, like Petra was practicing without any help and pushing instead of letting it come through me and like, you know, tap into all of that, which I know in my mind, but I actually never really realized into practice because there is a difference. And I think there's a lot of rah-rah and blah-blah, you know, where you're like, yeah, you know, power's on and everything. But to really own that and show up and be present and like prepare properly, give yourself the time, the rest. I didn't do any of that. And we had so, you know, we had our human practice, our animal practice, animal CE. And I kept on, we were trying to balance it and we just couldn't. And I had to literally break my hands to stop and to be like, okay, now I can focus on one thing. And I think when I say that I went through it with grace, it's probably I was actually on some weird level relieved that I had some time off. But I would like to like not break my hands next time I take time off.
Yeah, the
But
next time you don't have to be, you don't have to do it as forceful as that,
yes,
right?
exactly. I'm learning.
It reminds me of like Abby, you know.
I know.
You know,
I know. I had a similar thing years ago. I had my appendix taken out, and then the path report came back and said, oh, it wasn't your appendix. And I went, we have a midwife friend who's a midwife who does like counseling. She's like our therapist. A bunch of us in our family use her. And what I got out of it was, I was like, didn't know this in my head, but it was like, I needed a break. Everyone was counting on me. I was trying to be like everything to everyone. And I had to actually have an organ taken out of my body to teach me that I can stop all of that now. And thank God I chose the appendix
That's so good.
Yeah,
Of
right.
all the organs, right? And like the day I realized that in a conversation with her, I started crying because I was like, oh my God. Like I was so happy that it was my appendix. But my question for you, and I know we're running out of time, is I just have one question for this. So yes, you said it like you said you broke your hands. What a huge message from God, right? Were there other, looking back, were there other softer, smaller messages that you didn't see that you can now look back? I would say all my life, and I mean this is not where it starts, and it didn't end then because I went to Austria and I actually ended up having to get I've had a mass like a fibroid for a long time, and it's been nudging and nudging, and you know there's variation of it, and once again, you know, I think I needed to even like go deeper because when I went to Austria recently, I had to deal with that as well. And but it all led me there. It all went perfect. But I have had nudges literally all my life, probably since I'm 20. You know, I'm just stubborn and
So are you listening now more to them?
I would say so, yeah. I actually my life has really, really changed. And I'm making a very conscious effort to be like, okay, how many things can I not do today? Like I need to I have to
That's
catch
good.
myself. I have to retrain myself, and it's tough because I love doing things. And if I'm not working, I'm out in the garden. I want to play with my horses, and to really, I'm down regulating my nervous system. I think we're both actually working on that, and that's a whole new chapter for us. This is a whole new way of being, and that I don't know where it's all going to go, but we're learning and taking much more time to really have a strong practice and have time slots and sun time. And yeah, so, you know, this is just the beginning. Like maybe in a year I can tell you more about it, but I don't know yet exactly what my new routine is, but I know I need to slow down on many levels.
Yeah, you're rewiring. I mean, but yeah, it's what happens. And you know, and Clay, I mean, obviously, you know, during all this, we choose who we're with, right? And you became probably more of a caregiver,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
On
A
that
total
level.
caregiver.
All the lessons that happened with that, right? And and the patience within ourselves, you know, and stuff like that. It's just yeah. They're blessings.
Sometimes.
They truly are. I mean, as much as we don't want wish it on anybody that, you know, to fall or to do that, but there's such blessings in everything that happened to us.
And that being that caregiver, that is a difficult job on so many levels, you know?
Yeah, and yeah, you have someone who can't feed themselves, you know, and we went through four surgeries driving up to Denver, which is 6, 7 hours for us. You know, every sometimes 2, 3 days apart, sometimes a week apart. They're just boom, 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 you know, which is we're blessed because we saw the best of surgeons. But So you have someone that has to have to help go into the bathroom and
Yeah, wow.
and things like that. It did open up my level of compassion for just my patients in my office.
Yes.
Wow, you hear things, people come and tell you these things like, oh, you know, that sounds terrible. Let's get you adjusted, you know, and let's
Yeah.
no, I understand what you're saying now, and I have
Yeah.
a deep compassion, and how can I help you outside of just giving you adjustments? Is there something I can do for you in a small town?
Yes.
I feel like that's people don't get that in a city, maybe, but that goes a long way in a smaller town.
That's a great lesson.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Hey guys, you've been wonderful. I mean, you know, we've kind of hit our witching hour. You guys are incredible. And I want to just tell our audience that if you're thinking of animals, if you're working with animals, or if you think, should I? We'll put it on the bottom so you'll be able to contact them at the chiropractic animal chiropractic CE. But I tell you what, I would entrust myself in your hands. So I just thank you guys. I mean, and thanks for opening up, and thanks for, you know, sharing some deeper stuff today with us too. It's really cool.
Thank
We
you.
end these. We always ask our guests two questions. And once again, whatever's in your gut, the first thing that pops up, it could change. You could go, oh, I would have said this. There's no wrong answer. We just want the first thing that pops up, you know, 15 seconds, whatever it might be. And so we're going to ask one of you first. I'm going to let Mary choose who that is. And then the second will answer that same question. And then I'll switch it. And then whoever's going to ask the second question will ask the opposite person. So Mary, I'm going to go first this time. You always.
Oh, really?
You want to? Go on. I'm just testing.
Like going first.
No,
Okay.
you got it.
Okay. I'm choosing Dr. Clay to go
Okay.
first. Okay.
Yeah.
Just innate response to this question. If
Okay.
you could go back with all your vast knowledge and wisdom now, if you could go back and you could give one piece of advice to Clay,
Yeah.
first day of first quarter at LifeWest, what would you
Oh.
say to him now?
What would I say the first quarter of, oh man.
But you're giving yourself this advice.
From where you are now.
I think trust the process. I think trust that you. I was so excited in school, and I just went for it. I just did everything I wanted to do, and I took all the classes I want to take. And then, you know, you get into practice, and some of that enthusiasm goes away after a while. And I think just and you get nervous about, man, am I going to make it? Am I going to be good enough? And this and that. And I think I would just tell myself, just the person you are right now, just be that person, and just keep on striving for what you love to do, and be enthusiastic about it.
Love it.
Just
Great.
keep reaching for it.
Okay, Dr. Petra, how would you answer that same question? First quarter, first day, and the student Petra is standing in front of you. What do you say to her?
Just really find more downtime and enjoyment. You don't need to be involved in every single thing to be liked. Because I think a lot of times you do, you know, I did that. So I would definitely say, like, just really go with the flow and enjoy and take it in and breathe it in and slow down.
Love it. Love it.
Wow, that's
Down
great.
regulate, right? I love it. I love it. All right. I'm giving the second question. Dr. Petra, I'm starting with you this time, right? Now, same scenario. Who you are right now, all the experiences you've had, you know, in your life and since you graduated, and now you're speaking to Dr. Petra, who just graduated and about to leave the door, right, to wherever she's going to go. What's the advice you give her?
That's a good one. I would say, once again, take a deep breath to meditate, really tune into the messages that are coming from above. And deeply, deeply trust where you're guided. You don't need to always guide and push. Let yourself be guided and listen to that and connect to that and try to find that on a daily basis.
Beautiful.
Wow,
That's
that's
beautiful.
good.
Great, great words. Awesome. Dr. Clay, you're talking to you. You're talking to Dr. Clay now, just graduated.
Recent graduate, yeah.
What's that piece of advice?
Oh, like just when you go into practice, you got to let everything that you learned, you know, all these people that have all these, you know, amazing, you know, practices and numbers and, you know, all this in their life. You got to let that go and start your own journey. Like, don't try to be someone else. Don't try to make your own goals that are coming from your heart, not just something from your head that you heard from a speaker at school. You got to really find your own way and don't judge yourself and give yourself permission to maybe your journey's a little bit longer than what you were expecting.
I love it. I
Wow,
love
that's
it.
great.
Awesome. Awesome. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today and
Thanks for having us.
sitting
Thank
on
you.
the couch hanging with us, right?
Yes.
It felt like
Yeah.
that, didn't it? It's so cool. So cool. And thank you. Thanks to our audience. I mean, you guys have been coming. I mean, we've been doing these Life by Life Wests, I want to say since 2019, maybe, or 2020, something like that.
20, I think.
Maybe 20. And I mean, they just keep growing and more people, and they pass these on. I mean, there was, man, more than gold. I mean, that whatever's more than gold, there is uranium in this stuff, you know, like you could be able to take and literally just be able to listen to and use and share it with people. Because, you know, we know, I know we all have friends that just need to hear a little bit of something. Sometimes they don't want to hear it from us. Shoot them a link, let them hear this. And you know, with Dr. Clay and Dr. Petra, I mean, they're just doing amazing things. And you are amazing people. And our audience is amazing also. So thank you for tuning in with us week in, week out. We drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop a life leadership line. And as long as you know, you're listening, we're gonna keep talking and share whatever we can. So from Dr. Petra, Dr. Clay, Dr. Mary, and myself, we want to just let you know that we love and appreciate you. Remember, you are much more powerful than all of us were ever led to believe, and that we will see you on the next Life by Life West. Okay, see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today, and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.